My father, Samuel Kafiol, ran a drapery store at Reichenbachstraße 7 together with his brother. In 1936, my father's brother committed suicide. He couldn't take it anymore. His wife fled with everything she could. My father was then held responsible because his sister-in-law hadn't paid the refugee tax. He was presented with the alternative of paying everything that she owed or being sent to Dachau. He paid, although it wasn't his responsibility. My mother and I saw what happened on pogrom night. Next morning, I went straight to our store at Reichenbachstraße 7. It had been completely plundered. An SA man had demanded the key from me. "I'll hand the key over," I said, "but only to the police." He laid hold of my shoulder and said, "If you want to wait for the police, then you have a surprise coming." I understood what he meant and handed over the key. Then I went home to my mother. My father had already called from Berlin, where he was away on business, saying he would return immediately. I went into town and bought a suitcase at Oberpollinger so we could pack some clothes. While I was away, some SA men came to the apartment. They told my mother I was to report to the Gestapo in Brienner Straße. If I didn't come, then they would fetch my mother. My mother fixed a sandwich for me and gave me a clean handkerchief. "I'm going," I said. I went to Brienner Straße. In my dossier, it says that I voluntarily submitted to protective custody. That night, my father returned from Berlin, and the minute he set foot in the house, SA men appeared. They told him he could stay the night there, but that he would be fetched the next morning. Next day, he was taken to Dachau. We were both there. I spent a couple of days searching for my father, but at the time there were around 10,000 so-called operational prisoners in Dachau. We'd all had our heads shorn. My father had previously worn a mustache, and I failed to recognize him. Then I chanced to pass someone and thought it might be him. It was. We didn't recognize each other in Dachau because we had changed so much. I was in Block 10. Most people from Munich were there. Blocks 10 and 12. Rabbi Beerwald was in our block and Rabbi Ehrentreu. It was a problem for the Orthodox Jews in Dachau. Some refused to eat the food. It was in fact both minimal and wretched. But Rabbi Ehrentreu said, "You must eat. Jewish law does not require that one starve oneself to death. In a situation like this, one must eat what there is." I think everybody did so after that. We had to march, not work, all day long, from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m., uninterrupted marching. My father, who was already 60, was released after 1 month at the beginning of December. An attorney came to Dachau and presented my father with a document he was required to sign, declaring his voluntary surrender of the business. He had no other option. I was released a bit later, mid-December, the day before Hanukkah. A brother of my father, who was a pretty wealthy businessman in Switzerland, had paid a deposit for us as guarantee that we would not become a burden to the state. At that time, the Gestapo were only interested in driving the Jews out of Germany. We were given a deadline to leave Munich within a few weeks. I went to Switzerland on February 7th, 1939. My parents followed 2 weeks later. At the border in Lindau, an SS man looked at my pass with a J stamped in it and said, "Don't ever come back." But here I am again today. After the pogrom night, we weren't permitted to enter our store. The business account was immediately seized, or to put it in plain and simple words, stolen by the state. Our employees continued to receive their salaries from the German Labor Front, who took over the business account. But I failed to receive my salary. When I was out of Dachau, I went to the labor front. I don't know why I did that. It could have gotten me into trouble. The labor front told me that if I wanted to receive the 2 month salary, then I had to sue my father for the money. I spoke to my father and he said, "Do me a favor and sue me." So I did, and I received 2 month salary from my father's pocket. But I had to sue him so he could shift it from his left to his right pocket. That was pretty ironical, but still. There was a League of National German Jews, and the motto, you know what the motto was? Out with us. Not out with the Jews, but out with us. The director of the league died in concentration camp. The Nazis banned the organization. They didn't want Jews having the same objectives as they had, of course. There were 2 Jewish lawyers in Munich on the board of this organization. For these people, it was a catastrophe, of course. They hadn't looked on themselves as Jewish Jews. As I see it, this lack of a Jewish consciousness played a big role in letting people allow everything that happened, happen to them. When one says, they're not talking about us, they won't treat us like that.